Hi there. We've likely never met, but I'm almost certain we share one thing in common. We both suffered through far too many dysfunctional meetings. I'm Rebecca Hines, and for the past 15 years, I've helped organizations all around the world fix their broken collaboration, including their soul-crushing meetings. Today, I'm sharing 5 key insights from my new book, Your Best Meeting Ever. Insights that can turn your meetings from slow motion dumpster fires into something that actually moves your work forward. And that brings us to insight 1. Treat your meetings like a product. Your meetings are the most important product in your entire organization. They're where decisions get made, priorities get set, culture gets built. And yet, meetings are also the least designed, least tested, least optimized product in our organizations. In the US alone, they burn well over $1.4 trillion each year, more than 5% of GDP. You would never ship a product to your customers without thoughtful design, testing, iteration, user feedback. But organizations ship meetings exactly like that every single day. Your meetings need design. If you haven't done the hard work of designing the meeting, you don't deserve to hold it. And if meetings are a product, then we should be designing them using the same product design principles that make great products great. And that brings us to insight 2. Clear your meeting debt. Just like products collect technical debt, meetings collect their own version. Meeting debt. A recurring meeting lands in your calendar and often it becomes immortal. Over time, no one remembers who created it, why it exists, or what it's supposed to do. But everyone still shows up and goes through the motions week after week, month after month. Eventually, the debt piles so high that the only real solution is to declare what I call a meeting doomsday. A 48-hour calendar cleanse where you wipe recurring meetings off your calendar and rebuild it from scratch. And it works. In the meeting doomsdays I've run, participants have reclaimed up to 11 hours per month per person. Meeting doomsday works for 2 key reasons. First, it snaps you out of the status quo. Traditional meeting audits where you evaluate meetings one meeting at a time, they keep you defending the clutter that's already squatting on your calendar. But a doomsday, it jolts you out of autopilot and into that deliberate, effortful mode of thinking that Daniel Kahneman calls System 2 thinking, the kind we almost never apply to our own calendars. Second, meeting doomsday works because it taps into the IKEA effect. Research shows we value things more when we build them ourselves, whether it's an IKEA desk or a newly rebuilt calendar. When people redesign their own calendars, they value it more. They protect it, and they stop letting unnecessary meetings sneak back in. Now, doomsdays only work if they're done with real intention. Do them poorly, and the old habits come roaring back. But done well and intentionally, they become one of the most powerful ways to reboot not just your calendar, but your entire meeting culture. Insight 3, become a meeting minimalist. A meeting doomsday is a radical way to clear meeting debt, but a one-time purge isn't enough. You need ongoing discipline to keep your calendar lean. Think of the best products in the world. They're minimalist. Google, ChatGPT. It's one search bar, one prompt bar, no fluff, no clutter, no nonsense. Your meetings should work the same way. The problem is, minimalism isn't human nature. As my colleagues Bob Sutton and Lydie Klotz have shown, humans have this built-in bias for addition, what they call addition sickness. When we hit a challenge or even just the faintest whiff of uncertainty, our instinct is to add a meeting, add more attendees, add more minutes, add more agenda items. But here's the good news. Research also shows that when you prime people for subtraction, you can short circuit that addition sickness. People start thinking like minimalist product designers. Now, in meetings, becoming a minimalist means applying that mindset to four dimensions of your meetings: the agenda, the duration, the attendees, and the frequency. Let's take duration, or the length of your meetings. Meetings suffer from what's called Parkinson's Law. Work expands to fill whatever time you give it. So if you give a meeting 60 minutes, it will almost always use the full 60 minutes. If you want shorter, sharper meetings, you need to actively defend against the natural creep of filler, fluff, and rambling. One way to do that? Standing meetings. Research shows that standing meetings run about 25% shorter than sitting down ones. It turns out nobody wants to drag things out when their knees are fighting gravity. But it's not just about saving time. Standing rewires how we collaborate in meetings. Research shows that people become less territorial. Let me explain. When we sit, it's my chair, my slice of the table, my turf. The room is divided into these tiny plots of land. But when we stand, the space becomes shared, and so do our conversations and our ideas. It becomes less about turf and more about teamwork. And that's the power of minimalism, not just saving time, but clearing away the barriers that keep people from truly collaborating in the meeting. Insight 4, apply systems thinking. We love to blame meetings for everything that's broken about work, but meetings usually aren't the root problem. They're usually a symptom of a bigger problem, and that is a broken communication system. Think about Apple. They don't design products in isolation. Every piece fits into the larger ecosystem. The hardware, software, services, user experience, all reinforcing one another. Meetings should work the same way, as part of a communication system, not a random act of scheduling. During the pandemic, my colleagues and I found something surprising. The time people spent in dysfunctional meetings actually got worse, even as their organizations adopted more digital tools than ever, tools that should have reduced the need for meetings. Now, why did that happen? Because organizations added tools, but didn't give their people guidance on how to use them. And when people don't know what deserves to be an email versus a document versus a Slack thread, they default to meetings. And they default for two reasons. First, meetings are highly visible. You can't see someone's thinking. You can't see someone's judgment. You can't see someone making good decisions, but you can absolutely see someone in a meeting. And you can see a packed calendar that broadcasts their importance. So meetings become theater, a performance of productivity. Second, we default to meetings because they hijack attention like nothing else. You can ignore an email, skim a document later, snooze a Slack message, but a meeting is public. It's anchored to a specific time slot. It claims territory on your calendar. And psychologically, that creates a social contract. You feel like you owe someone your attendance. And so meetings become the fastest, bluntest, most reliable way to hijack someone's attention. So before you can fix your meetings, you have to fix the system around them. Start with what I call the 4D test. A meeting should only exist if the purpose is to decide, debate, discuss, or develop yourself or your team. Everything else, status updates, broadcasts, one-way boss briefings, those fail the 4D test every time. And that's systems thinking. Insight 5, innovate with technology. Just as great products innovate with new technology, our meetings have to innovate too. And nothing is more transformative or more dangerously seductive than AI. Here are two ways to use AI to make your meetings better, not just shinier. First, use AI to calculate airtime. One of the strongest predictors of team performance is balanced airtime. But when airtime is lopsided, it doesn't just annoy people. It actually distorts our perception of the people in the room. Researchers call this the babble hypothesis, The more someone talks, the more we perceive them to be a leader, even if they're just spewing nonsense. AI can counter that. It can track airtime in real time, flag who's dominating the mic, surface who's getting steamrolled, and nudge the conversation back to one that isn't warped by the loudest voice. Second, use AI to play devil's advocate in your meetings. One of the biggest traps in meetings is groupthink. We are conditioned to believe that brainstorming works best in groups, but the research is clear. People generate more ideas and better ones when they think alone first. Early research shows that AI can help counteract that. It can introduce alternative angles, challenge assumptions, and disrupt the gravitational pull toward consensus. AI doesn't even need to be right to be useful. I wrote Your Best Meeting Ever because I was tired of watching organizations suffocate under the weight of bad, broken, and bloated meetings. And I wasn't interested in offering another list of half-hearted hacks, like slapping an agenda on the calendar invite. There's no conclusive evidence that having an agenda on its own leads to better meetings. What does work is treating meetings like a product. And in that product, everyone, whether you're the leader of the meeting or the most junior voice in the room, is a co-designer. So here's to your best meeting ever, because like any great product upgrade, you rarely realize how clunky the old version was until you experience the new one. And once you do, you'll never want to go back.